Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hello, my name is Mike Goldman and welcome to On The Mic. Today we talk about this. The gut. Yes, all about the microbiome. And we have a microbiologist on the show, one of the world's best, a microbiologist with 50 years experience. He is the founder of an incredible product by the name of ProGood. It's a pre and probiotic. He's in the new movie. Well, it's not really new now. It's been out for a while. The gut film, that gut movie, which has got some awesome stories behind it. We want to talk about how the gut is attached to your brain in so many different ways with depression and your skin and immune disorders. Got a million questions for you, and a lot of people have been writing in and wanting to talk about this some more. His name is Dr. John Elliman. Well, he's not really a doctor, but you could almost call you a doctor.
Certainly, doctors refer patients to me, so maybe you could from that point of view with quotation marks around the doctor, please.
But the amount of time you have been working as a microbiologist, doesn't that qualify you as like at least a professor?
Well, in Italy they would call me doctor, but in Australia a bachelor's degree doesn't qualify you as a doctor.
Okay, let's start again. Prego, buongiorno, microbiologist, Dr. Elliman. Yeah. I just pretend it's only going to Italy.
Buongiorno.
Welcome to the show, mate.
Good.
Hey, I've known you for years and obviously best friends with your son, Johnny Elliman, who runs ProGood, which is one of your inventions. It's a pre and probiotic. It's absolutely amazing. Let's start the show by talking about this incredible product and what it does. And by the way, this isn't an infomercial. This is something that could save your life. Basically, I mean, I've known so many people like myself that can't live without this product because I can't remember the last time I was sick since I've been taking it.
Well, true. Same with me, actually. So, and I've been taking this sort of thing for 20 years. So, yes, look, we've got to be a little bit circumspect about making health claims. We should say may help.
About me, though, because I know you always see, you see those commercials, especially in the US, where they have a disclaimer at the end.
Yeah.
This product may give you crabs. It may give you the runs. It may make you throw up and vomit profusely. But you could look as good as these people riding a bike in this commercial. But I'm talking from my own perspective. Am I allowed to just say this is what it does for me?
You are, but I can't advertise these things.
You can't.
You
have a product, and because I have no money or whatever.
That's right.
Okay, cool.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, well, let me just say what this product has done for me, and then you can explain what it is. So I used to get a lot of upset tummies. It was a weird thing. When I went to Thailand a long time ago, probably about 10 years ago, I started getting, I don't know if it was irritable bowel syndrome or it was just like if I have the tiniest little bit of dairy, I'd just have the runs. I wouldn't. You know, my stomach would always play up. So I went off dairy. But since I've been taking your product, even though apparently it has a little bit of dairy in it.
Well, no, actually, the current version has no dairy at all.
Okay, but did it used to?
Yes.
Oh, okay, yeah, right. Yeah, but it's like my stomach's been fine since then.
And that's right.
And I found myself not getting that sick, but my ever getting sick, really, except for hungover on a few occasions. But I blame your son for that.
He reckons it's a great hangover cure, and he should know. He gets plenty of them.
Absolutely, I do. My dad as well, who's had cancer for 8 years, and now a lot more doctors who never believed it are saying, you know, the microbiome, it promotes the immune system and helps cancer patients. And I know that you have a couple of stories about doctors who have approached you recently and wanting to talk about how you can help their cancer patients. But it's a brilliant product. Just explain to everyone, first off, what you do, and then we'll get into the product.
Okay, well, my background is in dairy microbiology, and most of my career was in research growing cultures for the dairy industry, cheese, yogurt, probiotics, that sort of thing. And I've had a lot to do with universities, been on committees and things like that at universities, And we had an association with the University of New South Wales, where we had some of my staff, which were what you would call genetic engineers, while we were trying to understand the genetics of cultures, not producing genetically engineered cultures for anyone, but understanding the genetics.
The genetics of cultures meaning, you know...
You know, looking at their DNA, trying to make them resistant to viruses that attack bacteria and things like that, because that's always a big threat in the cheese industry.
Mm.
They're viruses that only attack bacteria, so they're not viruses that attack humans, but making them resistant to that. Some of my staff were on site at the University of New South Wales, and Professor Noel Dunn there was successful in applying for funding from the government for a cooperative research centre. And CSIRO staff from the Division of Dairying in Victoria were involved. And we did a lot of research selecting the best possible cultures with the biggest effect on gut problems. And then also some of the parallel research done at CSIRO Human Nutrition in Adelaide demonstrated that if you combined various what are called prebiotics, which are fibre ingredients that feed the probiotics, if you combine several of those in different combinations, you can get enormous boost effect to the probiotic cultures. As they go down your intestine, they multiply on this packed lunch that we give them.
Mm. And this is food you're sticking in your gut. It's
exactly.
All about the packed lunch, because it goes,
right.
goes through everywhere down into your gut and it's all packed
That's
up.
That's right.
Packed up ready for your stomach and your bacteria to
Yeah,
to
the reason fibre is good for you, one of the major reasons is that it feeds the good bugs in your gut preferentially.
Oh, okay.
All right. So you can get this synergistic effect.
Yeah.
So when you combine prebiotics with probiotics, providing you've got enough prebiotic there, and it's more than you can fit in a capsule, by the way.
Yeah.
But if you combine those things in the right way, you can end up getting 200-fold increases to the probiotics.
Can we just quickly break it down and tell people that don't know what is the difference between a prebiotic and a probiotic?
Yeah. Probiotics, as everybody knows, are the good bugs for the gut. All right. Pro means life. Biotic. Well, pro means four. Biotic means life. So they're four good effects on your life, on your body. Prebiotics, I've got no idea why we called fibre ingredients prebiotics, but the concept is that the prebiotics feed the probiotics. And,
right.
And that's why the major reason why fibre is good for you is that it selectively multiplies the good bugs in your gut.
Right. Okay, cool.
So fibre predominantly, or no, not exclusively, predominantly affects your health in a positive way via the good bugs in your gut.
So if people are having immune problems, they've got to get their fibre up as well as their probiotic.
Well, it helps, you know, because probiotics, their major function is to suppress bad bugs. In our guts these days, we've done a lot of damage with antibiotics. Now, doctors have done what they believed was the right thing for people and saved millions of lives, frankly, with antibiotics, emptied whole hospitals with antibiotics.
But doesn't it kill all of the bugs,
good
and bad?
That's the problem.
Yeah.
It's kind of the side effect, the collateral damage. For example, I had a flagyl course, you know, metronidazole, to cure a Giardia infection.
What's a flagyl course and what's
a
Giardia and what's a?
Okay.
You sound like Fozzie Bear. What's a?
Okay.
I'm just going to stop you whenever there's... And keep in mind, just one thing you got to remember in this interview, that you're dealing with a complete moron.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask a lot of questions.
I can tell looking in your eyes, when you glaze over, I know.
Okay, all right, up to speed. Okay. Galaziol and all that. People are going to be writing down, I got to Google that later. I think when they get to a point when they've got to Google 20 things, they look for another podcast.
Okay, all right. Let's keep it simple.
All right.
You remember a decade or two ago, I think it must have been two decades ago, we had Giardia in the Sydney water supply.
What's Giardia?
It's a protozoan.
I think I got two of their albums.
It's like an amoeba.
Yeah, right, okay.
And they're like 10 times the diameter of a bacterial cell. They're like bacteria on steroids, but they're not bacteria.
Mm.
They're protozoan parasites. And so they cause all sorts of upsets. I presume that I got it from the Sydney water supply. And that gave me explosive diarrhea, you know, nearly cracked the toilet bowl, you know, that sort of diarrhea. And so the doctors prescribed an antibiotic. That's its chemical name is metronidazole, and it comes under various brands, one of which is Flagyl. Okay, so people might recognise
that. So that was to kill the band.
That was to kill, that's right, to kill the Giardia, which it did, but it did a lot of collateral damage to the good bugs in my gut. And the problem with that is that they tend very strongly to not come back again.
Mm.
Once you've wiped them out, like, for example, if you were to take penicillin for an earache, you don't stick the antibiotic in your ear.
Yeah, that's true.
You stick it in your mouth.
Yeah.
And the first bugs it contacts is down in your gut, after the stomach, the small intestine. And it wipes those out totally before it gets to the bugs in your ear.
Right. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. So it's like an atom bomb going off down there and creates a desert. And other bugs come down from your mouth and take over there, right? And some come up from underneath. And if they're gas producers, every time you eat something that those bugs like, they produce gas and you get bloating.
Yeah, right, okay.
And you can get gastric reflux as that gas comes up through the stomach.
Oh, that's what that is. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Now, doctors will then prescribe what they call a proton pump inhibitor. They switch off your acid in your stomach.
Is that like antacid tablets or something like
that? Yeah, well, mostly they... those are only neutralizers.
Pepto-Bismol and all that kind
They're
of stuff.
They're all neutralizers,
yeah.
But the ones that they give you are like Nexium, for example.
Yeah.
Right, or Zantac, those sorts of things that switch off your production of acid.
Uh-huh.
Now, that might solve the immediate problem and perhaps avoid esophageal cancer. So they're doing the right thing from that point.
Esophagus cancer.
Yeah.
Esophageal.
Yes.
Never heard of it called esophageal.
Well, that's the adjective from esophagus.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow. We're learning adjectives today too.
There you go. Sorry. so anyway, I'm not knocking the doctors for doing that.
Yeah.
But as Professor Clancy at the Center for Digestive Disease says, bad things are happening to people on these proton pump inhibitor drugs.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. Because your stomach acid needs to be there.
Mm.
It protects you against other things.
Are there a lot of doctors out there who still don't believe in pre and probiotics? Because,
sure,
like I think this is ridiculous. Like my dad went to the doctors the other day, and he was on antibiotics because when you're on cancer, you're having radiation and chemo,
yeah,
and you get infections quite easily. And he had like a throat infection, and he was on antibiotics. And the doctor said, no, don't take pre and probiotics. It stops the antibiotics from working. And he's like, that must be a lot of crap. And then he went and asked his oncologist. And the oncologist rang that doctor and called him an idiot on the phone.
Yeah,
so
right.
is there still this war going on in the medical industry
where
people aren't believing the power of the microbiome?
Look, yes. I mean, there's an explosion in knowledge and research.
Pardon the pun.
In the microbiome area these days. And it's being connected to more and more... diseases. Mm. For example, they now suspect that Alzheimer's is an infection in the brain from a gum disease bug that causes gingivitis.
No way.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. And dogs get that.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Do they? Okay.
I know that from a Colgate commercial.
Oh, okay.
Because you know the lady that goes, the fluoride gets into this chalk.
Yes.
And cause, can prevent gingivitis that dogs get. I don't know why they said that in a Colgate ad.
Yeah.
But it always reminds me of that.
Right, okay. Well, the bug, its technical name is Porphyromonas gingivalis, which causes gingivitis.
Yeah.
Right. It's also associated with heart disease. It's the number one bug that causes heart disease.
And so can we kill that off with a pre and probiotic?
Well...
Or building your immune system in your gut at the very least?
Yeah, the immune system effect, yes. There are actually probiotics on the market specifically for oral conditions made by Bliss Technologies in New Zealand.
And, wow. Are they Bliss Tech? Are they the ones that make the lip balm as well?
I don't know about that. That's probably Bliss Dex, isn't it, or something?
Oh, so it's Bliss Tech.
Yeah.
Okay,
so this is Bliss, BLIS.
Uh-huh.
Now, I shouldn't give them a free plug, but anyway.
Yeah.
You can
send a check, will you?
Yeah, that's right.
We can't keep doing this for free.
But they have specific oral probiotics that may be of some use in that area.
Yeah.
But most of the probiotics on the market, of course, are for gut conditions.
Yeah.
So if go on.
But I was just saying, you don't hear things like that or read about them in the paper very often. That you know, gingivitis can be linked to all those different diseases,
right,
and disorder. And
see,
I mean, and that's one of the incredible things, and one of the reasons why I want to get you on the show is that I've been reading lately that like depression as well can,
sure,
come from the gut.
Yeah.
Your skin as well can look bad. Your energy,
right,
levels.
Absolutely.
There's so much involved with gut health. It's not funny.
Yeah, that's right. And I was giving a talk once, and a guy decided I must be selling snake oil because it seems to affect so many conditions,
yeah, right,
that emanate from the gut. And my GP says everything starts with the gut. But he put his hand up and said, does it cure baldness? You know. And I said, well, I'm noticing more hair growing out of my nose and my ears lately, so I think it's working its way up. But
you're just growing too tall for your haircut.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Solar cell for a sex machine.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, but people, you're right. People are just very dismissive of it and don't want to believe it. But we find now that the medical associations all over the world are now stepping up and saying, yeah, we do believe that they're actually saying, I read one the other day that said, we have found, like they discovered it, rather than people like you that have been doing the groundwork all these years. Like they're claiming the credit for finding this,
yeah,
right now, which is disgusting. I mean, they should be giving people like you the credit.
Well, I don't know about that, but...
you deserve an award.
Yeah, sure. just buy the product.
Yeah, buy the product. That'll do.
Yeah,
well, it works.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Don't clap, just throw money, as they say. No, I'm not motivated particularly that way. But look, I think what I was saying about the bugs taking over in the small intestine from the mouth and things like that, they can not only produce gas, but they can damage the lining of the intestine. And once you get damage to your intestine, then you get stuff going through into your bloodstream, through the wall of the intestine.
And what does that do once it's through?
Well, if it's food molecules, like big food molecules, proteins and things that shouldn't go
through
there. Like
meat protein or something.
Well, like dairy or gluten from bread and that sort of thing.
Through the walls of your intestines.
Yeah.
What's it do?
Well, the immune system thinks that a virus or something like that is attacking it and will make antibodies to that, and you become sensitive to those things.
Okay, so that's why people are getting food allergies.
That's right.
Because their food intestine walls are wearing down.
That's right.
Okay.
So leaky gut is a big issue these days.
How do you stop leaky gut?
You suppress the bad bugs that are causing the problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know how we suppress those bad bugs.
Yep.
Right?
By taking ProGood.
Well, by taking a good probiotic with prebiotics mixed in with it.
Mm-hmm.
But you need, when I say good, you need the best possible strains, because a lot of them on the market, and this is the reason why a lot of doctors don't believe in it, because there's a history of probiotics that have had bad strains.
Okay, so these doctors aren't complete idiots.
No, they're not complete idiots at all. There's been a lot of trials with so-called probiotics that
don't have the prebiotic mixed in.
Yeah, but also there might be bad strains. Now, I showed you a chart that you may wish to throw up on the screen at some stage.
Yeah, okay, have a look at this chart right now. Yeah.
And it shows that out of 49 strains of probiotics that have been tested, in this case by the New South Wales Department of Primary Industries, right, in conjunction with the International Animal Health Company, what they found was that about a third of the strains on the market are actually stimulating bad bugs.
Oh, no.
Right?
That's a third of the products on the market.
Yeah, well, a third of the strains that were tested in this trial, which is 49, which would be a reasonable representation of what's on the market.
That's crazy.
And the ones that we use are amongst the very best at suppressing the bad bugs. And people who are old enough to remember the Castrol ad, oils ain't oils, you know, in probiotics, oils ain't oils.
You've got to make sure you got the best one.
Yes, and you can't tell from the name of the probiotic, like Lactobacillus acidophilus, because there are six strains in that trial, and half of them stimulated the bad bug or did nothing at all.
Whoa, that's all massive. Right.
So you have to know, I have to know as a manufacturer, which cultures are the best to use to achieve the result.
But do these companies, do they know these facts and they keep pumping out the bad probiotic?
Well, I'm not in a position to comment on other companies.
But they should be doing their research.
Well, that's true. Look, there have been a lot of shotgun-type probiotics on the market where they say, oh, we've got 10 strains in ours. So it must be better than yours because yours has only got two strains.
Mm.
Well, what's the point of diluting the two good ones, the best ones?
With 10 bad ones.
With 10 bad ones.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the mistake they're doing. They're appealing to people's preconception that the more different probiotics you have, the better off you are because you've lost a lot of variety in your microbiome.
Mm.
The problem is that the bacteria we've lost through antibiotics are not probiotics. That's what people don't understand.
Mm.
They think that they're replacing all these strains by using a probiotic product, and they're not, because in the gut, It's not really, in the adult gut, a good place for probiotic organisms to survive. They're not good at competing in the gut unless you boost them at, and put them in at very high levels. So we start with the best strains, boost them at high starting levels and boost them to even higher levels, probably 200-fold increase, right? And you've got to have enough prebiotic there to do that, all right?
And
then you can see impacts on health.
Okay, so we get that. You've explained that really well.
Yeah.
That, you know, there's a lot of probiotics out there that are actually helping the bad bugs. So
yeah.
So make sure you do a bit of your own research before you go and try one of those products.
Yeah.
Now, I want to get into all of the different things that can go wrong with your body because of the gut, but I also want to talk about what food is good to eat and drink that can help your gut in a pro and prebiotic sense. Like you see kombucha on the market everywhere at the moment. I mean,
yes.
is that really as good as everyone's making out that's selling it?
It's the latest fad. The way I look at these things is that these kombuchas and kefirs and yogurts and fermented vegetables and things like that were the original sources for the probiotics that are on the market. Now, we've just discussed the types of probiotics on the market, the good and the bad, right? They've all come from these sorts of sources. There are no other sources, really. So the fact is that you don't know when you're taking a kombucha or a kefir or whatever, whether there's the good probiotics in that or ones that have just got the name of a probiotic.
It just tastes good.
And it tastes good. Look, what I say is suck it and see. If it works for you, then it's fine. Keep doing it. And these sorts of products for our great-grandparents were probably, well, it was all they could take, yogurts and so on. So that was the only source that of good probiotics that they had, or any probiotics that was available to them. But that generation didn't have as many gut problems as we've got today because of the antibiotic thing.
All of the horrible food. I mean, the amount of fundraisers I've hosted over the years, hundreds of them, and I've spoken to doctors who, whatever we're raising money for, whether it's, you know, cancer or autoimmune problems or whatever, the number one thing that they always talk about is food.
Yes.
And the chemicals that we're spraying on our food, the mass production of the food. So it's really important to be getting the right food in your gut without all those sprays and then helping it out with the right pre and probiotic.
All of that is motherhood. A good diet is something that you can't contradict. But I would have to say that whatever you eat in terms of good food can only act via the bugs in your gut. Now, if you've had a lot of antibiotics in your life that has wiped out all the good ones and you've now got only a limited range and you've got gut problems, which indicate predominance of bad bugs, then when you feed yourself even a good diet, the chances are you're going to be feeding those bad bugs. There are people who are in extreme conditions that they can't eat anything, even a good diet, without getting
reactions. What food is good for you if you've got a gut problem? What would you tell people
to
don't eat?
Well, of course, fibre. Look, even though I have a lot of dairy and love dairy, right, it's highly nutritious, and that's why we feed it to babies, of course.
The Chinese go queue up at Woolworths when it opens to buy all the baby powder because we've got such great versions of it in Australia.
Well, that's true. That's
really
true.
Good quality, and send it over to China for 100 times the price.
And so I'll insert here an interesting comment that I heard from Professor Barodi at the Centre for Digestive Diseases when I was talking to him a week ago. And he said that, you know, how we talk about immunisations causing autism, there's a great fear out there that's what it is.
Yeah.
And look, we're not quite sure whether there is some sort of contribution, but we know that The Chinese, for example, have got an epidemic of autism and they're not immunising. So you've got to say,
okay, so maybe it's not.
Yeah, we know what we think causes autism, and that's Clostridia, spore-forming bacteria that are producing nerve poisons, neurotoxins. So if you, and I heard a Russian neurologist say, this is becoming generational because grandmother had antibiotics and it depleted the vaginal microbiota, which then meant that the daughter that was born picked up a less diverse microbiota.
Whoa.
And then the same thing happened to the next generation. Your mum had had antibiotics, even less diversity in her vaginal microbiota. And the vaginal microbiota contains the gut bugs that will become your gut microbiota, right? And so then we've produced a generation that has got a very skewed microbiota. And if Clostridia that are producing neurotoxins, and one of them is the tetanus bug, would you believe?
Tetanus, like when you cut yourself on a nail or something like that, yeah.
And you get lockjaw, it's a nerve poison.
Yeah, wow.
Right? And these autistic kids often have a microbiota that's got too many Clostridia in it and Clostridium tetani that are producing these neurotoxins that are travelling up the vagus nerve because the gut lining...
I've been there.
Yeah. There's been, the lining of the gut is damaged, so you've got all sorts of stuff going through and reaching the brain.
Wow.
The gut microbiota also control not only the barrier in the gut, but the barrier between the blood and your brain. So now we've got a generation of people who are having stuff going across into their brain, and that's causing, we think, the autisms and the Alzheimer's and multiple sclerosis. You know, all these Parkinson's, they're all now very strong theories that all of this is due to having a gut that's out of balance.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, all right.
And that's where the depression is coming from as well. People get bad skin, they get low energy levels.
All of those things are come back to the gut. For the first one you said, depression, I had someone who said they were so depressed and anxious. You know, we know that, they would go out and pound the pavement, so to speak, right, to try and get rid of this anxiety, this tension. And she said after a few weeks on our product, she said she could stay at home without even thinking about going for a run. She didn't need to, and she watched.
But I find that as well. Like if I'm a bit anxious and feel a little bit depressed, I go for a run and I get the blood pumping and then it goes away.
All of that's good. Yeah. And I'm not speaking against that. I'm saying that this exogenous depression, this is endogenous depression, stuff that's being generated from internally because the gut microbiome is responsible for producing 70 or 80% of the neurotransmitters like serotonin that your brain needs to function properly.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
And serotonin comes from the gut.
That's
the happy chemical that you get.
Yeah, that's right. So people who are depressed are low on serotonin, and that could easily be due to bad bugs in the gut.
I never realised until I was doing a little bit of research that serotonin actually comes from your gut. I thought it was just some little capsule in your brain that just went, and then, that's better. And it just came out at certain moments when things happened in your body and your life that...
Yeah.
Well, made you experience it.
It's also serotonin and dopamine are also produced in cells from the components, right? And the enzyme that puts those bits together needs, in one case, like with dopamine, it takes DOPA and puts an amine group on it. It needs vitamin B6 to do that. And the other one, serotonin from tryptophan, needs vitamin B1 stuck to the enzyme to make that happen. So again, we get back to the fact that absorption of vitamins and minerals in the gut is critical for your functioning and for your brain to function correctly.
Mm.
Now, if you've got gut damage, you're not absorbing enough of your vitamins and minerals. All right?
Mm.
So everything comes back ultimately to having a good set of bugs in your gut. And the only way nowadays that we can achieve something approaching those good conditions is to take a very good symbiotic, the synergy between the pre and the probiotics, right, and suppress the bad bugs that are good at doing the damage.
Mm-hmm.
When that happens, the gut heals itself, All right? Mm-hmm. And so, and also, your immune system is looking into your small intestine, particularly through Peyer's patches, they're called. These are the receptors for your immune system. And when it sees a lot of bad bugs in there on the Peyer's patches, it says we've got to increase inflammation. And that's why inflammation is associated with a lot of diseases, mm-hmm. because it's the immune system increasing the inflammation in response to bad bugs in the gut.
Right. So if you're feeling all bloated and your whole, not just in your gut, but your whole body, then that's what's going on from your gut, and you need to get your pre and probiotic on.
Yeah. Inflammation also causes depression because your brain gets inflamed.
Right.
All right. So all these things work together. Just about any disorder that you want to talk about comes back to the gut bugs.
So I had a friend of mine who had a really bad gut problem. I can't remember exactly what it was, but he was beyond help. So many doctors didn't know what to do. He tried a cocktail of different drugs. And then he went to do something called a fecal transplant, which is just the most out there thing. I was sure that he was making it up. Do you want to explain to people what a fecal transplant is and how that is helping people?
Yeah. Basically, it's been found that with a disease involving Clostridium difficile, that's a spore-forming bug that when it takes over in your gut, it causes your intestine to disintegrate and it kills you, basically, in most cases.
That's what he had.
Yeah, okay. Well, Professor Barodi at the Center for Digestive Diseases, he started putting poo from a healthy person up the back passage of people who had that condition and was healing them. And this has now taken off around the world. In America, they're using them, and Tom is actually working with people in America to produce what he calls crapsules, which are capsules of poo.
I see you're swallowing, eating.
Yes, that's right. And in fact, the origin of that was Adolf Hitler. There you go. Here's one for you.
He used to talk shit, but I didn't know.
He certainly did that, and he had, you know what, for brains. But what happened was he also had a really bad bowel problem.
Yeah.
And his doctor took poo from a healthy German soldier and gave it to Hitler in capsule form, and it fixed his problem.
No.
Yeah.
So they've been doing that since way back then.
Oh, look, it's been happening since...
Crazy.
Look, the ancient Chinese discovered this as well thousands of years ago.
Ancient Chinese.
Yeah.
There you go.
They were ahead of us in many, many ways.
So how do you know whose poop is good? Like, do you go, hey, that person looks really healthy. Like, they go to the gym a lot and they eat a lot of good food.
Yeah.
They don't drink alcohol. Let's get their poop.
Yeah.
Give me that. Or do you line people up?
There are now people that they've identified as super producers.
Super poopers?
Yeah, super poopers. That's a good one. Super poopers.
So would the doctor be a super pooper scooper?
I love it.
You can use that term. It's fine.
Yeah, that's
as long as I get a credit in the medical journal, I don't care.
You heard it first here.
But my buddy, he just got the poop from the nurse.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know, it was because she was hot or what.
Well, you see, you know, even obesity.
What is this? This is this crazy.
Yeah. Even obesity is known to be associated with the type of bugs in your gut.
Yeah.
And they've done experiments with mice, for example, and taken poo from a fat mouse and stuck it in a skinny mouse, and they become fat. And
Is it the bugs inside the fat mouse is just holding on to the food or not digesting it properly? Or
well, there's a lot of reasons. The production of appetite suppressants or appetite stimulants has a lot to do with it. But also certain bacteria extract more energy from the food than others do. So it's a combination of those effects. Basically, they've even found that if they've got anxious mice and they take poo from them and put them into normal mice, they become anxious. And I always say to people, if somebody approached me with poo and wanting me to eat it or whatever, then I'd feel anxious too. But no, it's, you know,
you can't help but laugh. I know. It's ridiculous. It's just incredible science, isn't it?
It is. And
it's incredible science. It's incredible that we figured it out. I mean, actually just like, hey, put it in there and take it out of there. But it's to figure out like on a micro level to get the right bugs from someone's gut and just put it in another gut.
We're on the
threshold. Has anyone ever rejected?
Oh, yes. See, the big problem is,
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
That if this, well, your immune system when you're a baby learns to support the set of bugs that you got from mum because nature assumes that that was a good set because she reached childbearing age.
Right.
You
okay.
see?
Yeah.
So that's a good set, we'll assume. Then basically the immune system's got training wheels on in the first couple of years of life and it looks at those bugs in the intestine and says, these are the ones I've got to support for the rest of this person's life and ipso facto I will reject any other type that comes in.
Yeah.
That's why you can recover from a salmonella infection because the immune system says, hey, I don't recognise this bug, I'm going to kick it out.
Oh, okay, right.
Now,
okay.
The downside of that is it will also recognise bugs from somebody else's poo.
That are good and kick them out.
Well, that are good in that person, the donor, but it says...
What that is.
Exactly, let's kick it out.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of transplants... it go, you know, wrong after a few months.
But what happens if it goes wrong? It just like
well,
you just
you
poop
go,
it out.
You do it again. But I've had people that have had several poo transplants and it's because the donor's poo has a different spectrum of bugs in it to what that recipient's immune system is used to.
Mm. So does that mean that if it does work in someone's gut, does it stay with them and it can be transferred to their child when they have a
yes, quite possibly.
Kid?
See,
wow, that's crazy.
We're at the threshold of the We now understand the critical importance of all the bugs in the gut.
Mm.
Now, 50 years from now, we may well have a bank of a couple of thousand good strains. Right now, the good strain in you is not necessarily the same good strain in me, but my good strain does the same job as your good strain.
Yeah.
But they'd have a bank of cultures, but they've got to work out how to switch off the immune system's rejection side long enough for these things to establish.
It makes so much sense now we're talking about that when you say someone's sick or they've got some sort of problem, they've got to try a lot of different things because some things might be great for this person, but it might not necessarily be great for that person because of all the different, microbiology things going on in their gut.
Yeah.
So what got you fascinated about microbiology? How did you actually get started?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, when I first went to uni, I mean, I didn't have a clue what I was going to do even before uni. I finished school. My mum took me to a management consultant and they said you should go to uni and do biological sciences. Your IQ's up there for university, so that's what you should do. And that was the first I had been told. I came from a working class family, you know, we're brought up in Blacktown, and no offence to Blacktown people, they're great people, but I had no aspirations to go to university. But I went and started in engineering, and then I, as I progressed, I switched to science and ended up wanting to be a chemist. But my father died at the end of my second year and I had to get a traineeship from the government and they insisted that I become a microbiologist. Now, when I look back, I had a microscope when I was a kid.
Oh, really? So you're kind of fascinated from it as a kid.
I was always a microbiologist
and
didn't
know
it. Oh, mosquitoes, whatever, you know. It was only a cheap microscope. But always fascinated. I used to lie on the ground and watch ants, you know. Not that I was a nerd, of course, but...
You didn't, like, cut their legs off or anything?
No. I wasn't cruel
to animals. You ever have kids in school, like, they catch flies and they put it in a little cork fly catcher and they pull the wings off it? They were sick, those kids. You weren't one of those evil child professors, were you?
No, although I did make some contact explosive once after I graduated.
What? You made explosives?
Yeah. Contact explosives.
What is that?
And put, well, you just get... I shouldn't tell people.
Is that like Semtex?
No. It's just, ammonia and iodine together, if you mix them, when it dries out, it's ammonium triiodide, and it's a contact explosive.
What's that mean? The contact mean you
mean
set
when you
by it,
when you hit it, it'll go bang.
Oh, yeah, like throwdowns.
Yeah, yeah, that's right,
right.
And that sort of thing. And flies, it, when you dabbed it along the window, the flies go on it and bang, and it blows.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm absolutely serious.
Why did I not figure that out in science class at school? I remember we had a science teacher called Mr. Cleese.
Oh yeah.
And I was always wanting to conduct my own experiments.
Yeah.
And one in particular, where we had a Bunsen burner, you know, a little thing with a flame. What am I telling you for? I'm telling you.
Yeah.
And I put a thermometer in the flame because I just thought that it would. I want to see how hot it could get.
Yeah. But the thermometer melted the end of it.
Blew up right in front of me. I have mercury all over myself.
Yeah, yeah.
I had to kick everyone out of the classroom and then evacuated the school.
Oh, that's a bit extreme.
Like, Come on. And like, I was going to get suspended. And
oh, yeah. No.
It was okay in the cartoons. When someone's sick, they put it in their mouth and then it just goes hot. But yeah, you're not supposed to. Don't do that at home, kids.
No. No.
Or science class.
Right. Yeah. Mercury, of course, is toxic. But I mean, as a young fella, I had mercury in my hand. It was interesting to watch it running around, wasn't it?
Well, that's not good. Hopefully it's not in your blood now.
No.
Did you ever do any other mental experiments like that that you just went, holy hell? Or are there any experiments coming up that you want to conduct that you haven't done before?
Oh, look, there's always experiments. I mean, I was in charge of R&D and had 20 people under me, a lot with PhDs, and I was thinking of experiments all the time. See, basically...
Is it the CSIRO?
No, I never worked for the CSIRO. I was always in industry.
Consultant sort of thing?
No, I was employed by a subsidiary of Burnsville. Mm. You remember Burnsville? We manufactured cultures for the dairy industry, frozen concentrates, so the cheese maker could just put this stuff straight in the cheese fat
rather than
growing their own. And so there was a lot of research involved in that, and we had several PhD people in my team. I'm a lazy person, but it's fun. When you've got a team of scientists reporting to you, you can think of experiments and say, go and do this, and they go and do it.
Go and put some probiotic in your eyeball and come back and tell me what happens.
Not quite
What's
like
the
that,
weirdest thing you told someone to go and do, to go and try out?
Oh, I can't think now, but... you know, there was a whole factory associated with our production of that, and it was good to be able to put things into production. And, you know, there's a certain amount of risk-taking there in terms of will it succeed. I've never worked in my life. I've just had fun.
You just love doing it.
Oh.
And even working on yourself, I mean, that's the sign of a good professor. And you see it in so many movies where a professor is operating on himself to see if he can get things to the next level. Incredible Hulk.
That's right.
Eric Banner. I mean, he's one of the greatest scientists that ever lived. I mean, what he did to himself was amazing.
Yeah.
Not sure if he's still around, but you wouldn't like him when he's angry. But
that's
you tried some strains on yourself, which could have done
that's
anything
right.
to you.
Absolutely.
And to just explain to everyone
one time Professor Barodi had asked us to produce a particular bug for him to treat patients, and we were doing that in the laboratory.
Mm.
And I took, you know, even though this bug had been, wait for it, isolated from a septic appendix, I took 10 mils straight out of a fermenter and swallowed it. And
someone else's... appendix.
Yeah.
So you drank something from someone else's appendix.
Yes. And it was fantastic. My bowel was fantastic for 3 days until it washed out.
You're joking.
No. It's not the fact that this bug hadn't caused the sepsis in the appendix. What was happening was it's a good bug that's predominating in the gut. And if somebody's got appendicitis, it was there in the appendix as well as the bad bugs. And I knew... that although it had come from that source, that it was predominantly a good bug.
But the bad bugs that were there and someone had appendicitis,
yeah, but
would,
we,
didn't you think, oh, they could
no,
give
no,
it
no.
to me?
This had been isolated and purified.
Right, okay.
So cool. I knew...
Could you be sure?
Well, yeah, after I swallowed it, I was sure.
Man, you are game. That's crazy.
Well,
is that the strangest thing you've ever put in your mouth?
We won't go there.
Oh, man, that is crazy. So... and then you develop your own strain,
yes,
which helped you get rid of your irritable bowel syndrome.
Yeah, one of the strains that I still use, I'd isolated from a Japanese food back in the 1980s, And when it was put through our Cooperative Research Centre at the University of New South Wales, it turned out to be one of the best.
What was the food?
It was an ice cream, actually. Somebody had put this into the ice cream deliberately, but that's what I got it out of.
Okay.
But it, when I say...
Why would you choose that?
We were looking for good probiotics
and it was
time.
Just a really, really good one, the best one you could find.
Yeah, it's one of the, it's turned out to be one of the best. That's right.
And you don't know that until you've conducted trials with it and tried things with it.
And the other one that we use, it came in its original form from a baby's bowel, and this baby had been the only one who didn't develop diarrhea when it swept through the daycare centre that this child was in. And so the scientists isolated from that and sent it to the American Type Culture Collection. And what happened there was that they were putting it into ampoules, and the technician forgot to close a particular valve and contaminate the laboratory. Then everything else that was produced in that laboratory, other strains, had this in it as a contaminant. And so scientists around the world have been isolating this bifidobacterium.
Because it's so good.
Yeah.
So let's just reiterate that. So you've got a strain from Japanese ice cream and a baby's butt.
That's right.
And that made you better.
That's right.
I love summing things up. that is crazy. So let's, because that fascinates me, that the way you find these strains that you do all of this research on, and then you go, right, this strain right here is so resilient. It's affected all these other strains in the room, and this one that came from Japanese ice cream, this is just gone through all of these tests and is still working. So we've got the Japanese ice cream, we've got the baby's butt. Tell me where you got the other strains from.
Oh, well, they're the two that we use pretty well exclusively, but the others...
Oh, that's ProGood's strains. Yeah,
they're the ones in ProGood. Yeah.
Jonathan Ellerman never told me baby's butt and ice cream.
Yeah, well, maybe he didn't want to put you off, you know.
Okay, I'm feeling a bit under the weather today. Maybe I need some baby's butt and ice cream. That's an ice cream flavour that we could come up with.
That's right.
Oh, that's crazy. So they're the two main ones. How many strains do you have in ProGood?
Two.
Two. They're the ones. Yeah, great.
Yeah. I mean, our philosophy is...
One's a pre and one's a probiotic?
No, both probiotics. Yeah. And then we add triolose, an inulin, and a fibrate, it's called. It's an arabinogalactan.
Yeah, but they're not ones that you guys discovered.
No. These are on the market, but it's the way you combine them that's critical, because the triolose boosts the lactobacillus, and the other two selectively boost the bifidobacterium. The inulin boosts it in the first part of the large bowel, the colon.
Mm-hmm.
That's the ascending colon, the bit that goes up. And then the arabinogalactan feeds them also and boosts the already boosted bifidobacteria right through the whole intestine. So you've got a fast burn and then a slow burn, if you like. And the other thing that makes this product so special is that compared to capsules, which have to dissolve in stomach acid, and the freeze-dried cells are trying to come back to life by sucking in concentrated hydrochloric acid. We put this in a powder into a glass of water. Within seconds, those cells have come back to life and they're plump and happy and ready to go.
Right, wow.
And they don't suck in the stomach acid. They don't need to. So we get a much higher survival rate into the small intestine.
So that's something I really wanted to ask you, which I never understood, because Johnny's always got his ProGood, his pre and probiotic. It's in the freezer and gives it to me and says it'll be right for a day or two, but make sure you put it in the fridge when you get home. And
that's right.
Like, why do you freeze it? And what are they doing when they're dormant? Are they asleep or are they dead?
Yes, they're asleep.
What's the story?
They're asleep. They're dormant. Both those terms would be appropriate. And, they're freeze-dried. They're dehydrated. And moisture will bring them back to life. So one of the problems with capsules is moisture from the gelatin will migrate into them and cause a problem.
Right.
Okay. Now, we put 6 months shelf life on the fully mixed synbiotic, but we put 3 years on them when we separate into two.
Oh, in the sachets.
In the sachets, right, okay. We've got conjoined sachets. One's got the culture side, right, and that is kept fully dry.
Yeah,
and
right.
The other side has got the more moist packed lunch, if you like.
And so how long can that not be in the fridge for? For 3 years?
Oh, well, look, I have taken it around Europe and left it in my suitcase, and I can tell whether it's working or not on my gut.
Right, okay.
Right? And so it's fine. At the end of 3.5 weeks it was at room temperature, no problem at all.
It's crazy that it's an organism that helps your gut.
Yeah.
And it can just lie dormant for a year or two, and then you add water and it comes to life and fixes you.
That's right.
That's just bizarre.
Yeah. The other thing to realise, is that there are shelf-stable probiotics around, right? But all they do is put 20% more in, and it just declines to whatever the claim is on the label at that time. So ours will do the same. So there's no real difference. If you want to have the stuff out of the fridge, you can. But we say that if you want optimum activity and you're, like I am, a quality fanatic, then it's best to keep it in the fridge. But we send these products, even the jar one, all over Australia at room temperature without any problem, because the amount of time is not enough to make a measurable difference in the numbers.
So why are oncologists contacting you now and asking for your product? Well, and how can it help cancer patients?
Look, I don't know that many oncologists are, but what we've noticed with cancer patients is that the chemo that they're on kills a lot of their gut bacteria, and they get nauseous because of that. Well, anecdotally, what we're seeing is a reduction in nausea when people who are on chemo take our product. Now,
That's what my dad says. He's been on chemo and radiation for like 6 or 7 years, ridiculous amount of time, and he says he doesn't feel sick.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know why, and obviously, you know, ProGood has something to do with it. Also, he believes that it has something to do with it, because other people in the same situation as him have like a sickness over their whole body, and they're always feeling horrible, but it seems to be working for him.
That's right. I mean, we don't make that as a claim, you know what I mean?
I'm just saying my dad's own experience and that's definitely not your claim.
No, and he's not alone, you know. But I was talking to Professor Barodi and about Crohn's disease, and you know, a friend of mine taking the product, and whereas she'd had 5 major operations to remove part of a bowel when she was on the drugs for Crohn's, and they said to her 8 or 9 years ago, you've got to go and get even stronger drugs. Liverpool Hospital will bring them in from America, especially for you, and you'll still need an operation after 2 years. Mm. They said, stay off the drugs for 3 weeks. And before you go on to the new ones, to let the old ones wash out. And she just took our product, a dose in the morning and a dose in the evening, right? And at the end of that 3 weeks, she felt so good that she never started the new drugs. And every time she had a colonoscopy after that, the doctor said, what are you doing? Because all the ulcers are shrinking, your intestine where the joints are looking so much healthier. Keep doing what you're doing. 8 years later, they were saying, we can't find any Crohn's in your body.
Wow. So you're not claiming it cures Crohn's, but
hers. But it's an anecdote, but there are others that have said
What are some other success stories from taking your amazing pre and probiotic?
Well, you get people. One woman came to me and said, look, I've been to so many doctors, and they've ended up, and dietitians and so on, and they said that there's nothing more we can do for you. She's so sick and lost so much weight that she's basically dying from it. And after, was it a month on our product or something like that, she rang me up and said, I'm 80% back to normal. Your product's amazing. So that's the sort of thing we can do. The way I approach it is you've got to be... See, some people say, I'm not allowed to have FODMAPs, you know, these fructooligosaccharides and so on.
Like, what is that?
Well, compounds of fructose, like inulin in our product. You know? We're not allowed to have that because...
What's a fructose and an inulin?
Well, fructose is a sugar, like it's it's honey, is fructose, and fruit sugar. Fructose, okay, it comes from fruit. Yeah, it's only a pronunciation. I'm a Westie, fructose.
Shout out to B-Town, Blacktown.
That's right. But anyway, fructose. And if you take those FODMAPs and you've got a bad gut problem, of course, all you're doing is feeding the bad bugs. But if you take it in conjunction with the good probiotics, like in our stuff, then you're actually suppressing the bad bugs before they can feed on the fructose and so on. Okay, so you might get a transition period where you have to start low and work up, but within a couple of weeks, usually all those symptoms are gone and you're powering on. And I've seen people with dark shadows under their eyes from food sensitivities, and they might go through a healing crisis, as they call it, for a couple of weeks. But after that, boom, they're powering on, the shadows are disappearing, and they're saying they feel fantastic.
Yeah, actually, I used to have that a lot more. I didn't really think that there was any connection, but it's amazing how much connection there is.
Yeah.
So back on the whole cancer thing. So it fixes the lining of your stomach. And in some people it can do that, and it also helps build your immune system. And when your immune system is being hammered with what is essentially a super-powered antibiotic, which is chemo and radiation, then you need this to build up your immune system. And is that what it's doing? And is that why a lot of cancer patients are coming to you for your product?
Yes, I'd say that it is a large component of what's happening. And if you think about it, although I don't claim to be able to reverse cancer, you know, and you need to go to your doctor if you suspect you might have cancer. But bowel cancer, for example, is often caused by bad bugs producing cancer-causing compounds, right, carcinogens, from bile, for example. And if you're constipated, which again is caused usually by bad bugs producing neurotoxins that paralyze the nerves in the bowel so that nothing moves, right? Now, that when you've got that situation of bad bugs and these carcinogens that they're producing in contact with the bowel over a prolonged period, that's often what causes bowel cancer, all right? So suppress those bad bugs, get the bowel moving again, hopefully, and I've had a doctor tell me that I've changed her life. Because she was so badly constipated, she'd go once a week with the help of strong laxatives, you know, but then she's going every day. So now I can't guarantee that everyone will get that result. But
my mathematician, he had a really, really bad problem with constipation, but then he worked it out with a pencil.
That's the one. That's the one. Yes.
That's the only dad joke we'll do in this whole show. But that was my dad's joke. Thanks, Dad. I've got to credit him for that.
Yeah.
Matt, it's been such an eye-opener, an ass-opener, stomach-opener, whatever you want to call it, talking to you and the incredible discoveries that you've made. If people want to see an incredible movie, it's called The Gut Movie, which I believe you have a starring role in.
Well, I have a bit part. Yes.
That's all right. You still get a credit on IMDb, don't you?
Yeah.
I think so. This could be the next big thing for you.
Yeah.
Tell us, before we finish up, just tell us about The Gut Movie and a little bit about that. I did see it. It was incredible. This young man. Cale Brock. He traveled all the way over to Africa and lived with these people in an African tribe and examined their poop and examined his before he left, lived with them, ate their food, and then came back and saw the incredible changes in his gut health from eating
now,
their food.
The question always is that going to be permanent? And I doubt it. But when he was consuming the raw root vegetables that they were consuming, which had, of course, bacteria growing on those starches, right, and eating those, he was, of course, increasing the diversity, at least temporarily. And diversity is a sign of health. So the more diverse your microbiome is, the more likely you are to be healthy. And so he was able to, at least temporarily, improve his gut diversity. It remains to be seen, and I really believe that it bounces back
Come back and start eating the same foods that you do back here in the Western
world. See, he was basically taking a symbiotic with these raw foods with the bacteria associated with them. So the only way you can achieve that now here in Sydney is by taking symbiotics, right? ProGood.
Yeah.
Which is exactly a scientifically reproduced version of what those Kalahari Bushmen, the San people, are eating.
Or breaking it down, baby poop. And Japanese ice cream.
That's it.
Oh, I love it. That's crazy. Thank you very much, John Elliman.
You're
an amazing man. What you've done for so many people is absolutely incredible. I hope you've realized this, because you go around and you're in these films and you lecture all over the place and all over the world talking about gut health, the microbiome, and it's just mind-blowing. So thank you for all the work you've done, not just for me, my family and so many other people, and keep up the good work.
Good on you. Thanks,
Good on you, mate.
Good on you, mate.
John Elliman, ladies and gentlemen.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.